The enemy's always trying to come up with something new. But there's really nothing new under the sun. But he's always coming up with something new. And the latest one is he's trying to get people to believe that Jesus was somehow just a magician doing what these other people now are doing. You know, walking on the sides of buildings and even some guy walking on water or whatever. Or levitation is the big deal. And, you know, I knew a guy back in Massachusetts who, when he started listening to these, he started watching Chris Angel and some of these guys, he said, man, and he was like really heavy deep into the occult world, you know. And he says, man, we used to do that stuff. So these guys are using demonic power to do that. You know, he's born again. Now he's born again on fire for Jesus. Hallelujah. But, you know, that's another lie of the devil. And all I have to say is, folks, take a look at Moses before Pharaoh. You know, yeah, they can do the stuff because they've learned how to manipulate that which God has already, you know, created in the first place. It's all of God. I mean, you know that even princes and principalities and powers and rulers and all these thrones and dominions are all God's creation. Amen. God, he is the creator of all. How many know Lucifer himself is a created being, right? A fallen cherub, but nonetheless, he's a created being. And so he imitates and he mimics and he copies what is authentic and what is real. And he tries to get people to be suspect of any miracles so that he himself will have the monopoly on it, see, and people will be looking, because people are looking for something bigger than themselves. How many realize we all need someone bigger, amen? The world calls it a higher power. We know it's Jesus Christ. This is the highest power, amen? He's the one we look to. But the thing is Pharaoh's, you know, before Pharaoh and Moses had, you know, cast his rod down, and of course the magicians, they threw their rods down, they turned to serpents too. But what was the difference? Yeah. Do you understand? And what God's calling us to do is to eat up the works of the enemy, amen? To be an available vessel so that we can destroy the works of Satan. Even if it's a counterfeit or a lying sign or wonder, we need to be in a position to bind it up in Jesus' name, amen? So those spirits cannot, you know, we have the authority to do that. If you're walking with God, you have that authority. I thought I would throw that out there because there's so many of our young people, especially now, that are being duped by all this sensationalism, all the stuff that's out there. And the Harry Potter and all that has fed into it, you know, and wanting to be able to do spells. And it's basically, you know, they're real incantations, by the way, that they use in Harry Potter. Amen. Because some of you know you were formerly into witchcraft, and some of you know that that's a lie of the devil, and it's a recruiting tool for the devil. Dungeons and Dragons, these things. Now a Pokemon monster thing is another one, folks. You do some research on that. I encourage you to go online. There's lots of information about how demonic it really is. It seems like an innocent little game you play, going catching monsters. No, it's not. It is not. It is a tool that the enemy is using. The enemy is wanting to control your mind. He wants to captivate you and make you his captive. He wants you to become his slave. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. And whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. I'm not afraid of the boogeyman because I know God is bigger in me, amen, than he that is in the world. So we've been talking about believing it until you see it. You know, it's important that we understand what it really means to believe. We need to understand what it really means to have faith, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. How many would agree it's very important? And it's not something, folks, to me, maybe it is for some, it's probably easier for children to understand. But as we get older, sometimes it's harder for us to grasp simple things. Because we get, you know, formulas going in our head. Everything has to have a formula or some type of scientific proof or evidence or whatever. But a child just simply believes what they hear. Now, that's not good if it's the devil, but it's good if it's Jesus. Amen. We want to believe Jesus. Take him very literally. I mean, Jesus didn't play games. He spoke very clearly. He spoke truthful. And so we want to believe what Jesus said. And don't mess with it. Don't mix it up. Don't add this to it and that to it, or take this out of it and that out of it. If Jesus said it, I believe it. If you can imagine something, you can create it. Come on. Father, thank you, God. We ask you right now, Holy Spirit, to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. Lord, sow into our hearts with understanding the truth. Grant us, Lord, to hear clearly your voice today through this. Lord, I yield myself to you and I ask you to speak today loud and clear. Change us, transform us, renew our minds, Lord, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Amen. I'm going to repeat a few things from last week just as foundational, but Genesis 11:6, this is when the people of the earth had come together and they all had one language and they began to build the Tower of Babel, you know, and they were, you know, just basically trying to exalt themselves independent of God. They wanted, if you will, a new world order. And there seems to be evidence, archaeological evidence, that the pyramids were more than just tombs for kings, but they are actually strategically placed along the ley lines around the globe, in that there are hieroglyphics that are, you know, in Egypt that you find in South America and under the ocean, where there's pyramids all over the earth. And then they're discovering organic, inorganic matter, organic matter in the basements of these things. Well, what does that mean? It means it's a battery. And they're discovering that there was actually an ancient internet system. They were able to communicate. And so, like, you know, the word says there's nothing new under the sun. There's what we're seeing is a resurrection of the Babel system again in, you know, in the world, the new world order. And so, you know, they want a one world religion, a one world monetary system, a one world government, you know. And if you listen to what Pope Francis is talking about these days, he's right in there with them, hook, line, and sinker, and he's leading this thing. The leaders of the world are paying homage to him. They're listening to him. They're bowing down to him. I watched a video clip of him where there was like 150 evangelical and Buddhist and Muslim and you name it, Orthodox leaders all coming up and paying homage to the Pope, kissing his hand. Under the guise of the new world religion, where there's no longer distinction between one religion or the next. And of course, the Pope himself has actually said that the greatest threat to world peace is fundamentalism. And what he means by that is anybody that believes the Bible to be the Word of God and stand on the principles of God's Word, they're a fundamentalist. And also would have to do with Islam. The radical Islamists. So they're trying to lump us together with the radical Islamists and say that Christianity is actually a threat. You do a little research on this, and they're also saying this in the military now. They're trying to shut us down, folks. Why? Because we are a hindrance to what the devil wants to accomplish. He wants to be worshipped. He is the little g of this world, the little god of this world. He wants the worship of all the nations, kindreds, tribes, and tongues, no different than the time of Nebuchadnezzar. When you hear the sound of the music and the cymbals and, you know, then you all bow down to the image that I've erected. And this is the same thing. It's just all happening again. But listen to what God said here when they came down to take a look. He sent watchers, those who come, maybe angelic beings that come and spy things out on the earth. And he said, indeed, the people are one, Genesis 11:6, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they imagine or propose to do will be withheld from them. Nothing that they imagine or propose to do will be withheld from them. How many know that our science community is getting into areas where I think we should have never gone? They're talking about transhumanism and, you know, splicing genes and humans with animals and trying to create super soldiers. There's all kinds of whacked out stuff that they're experimenting right now with. And And you know, isn't it interesting that things maybe 20, 30 years ago that were only imagined or maybe even in Hollywood are actually happening today? Do you understand how powerful the imagination is? The imagination can be good or evil depending on what you allow to be projected on the screen. And unfortunately, because of the fall, we have been subjected, you know, to the knowledge of both good and evil. So man's imagination can be used for either or. It can be used for good, but it can also be used for evil. Now, the imagination is important. God gave us an imagination because we were created in His image. And just like God had first, you know, imagined something, right? He spoke the word, and then there was light. First there was sound, and then there was light. So it's important we understand that there's a problem when people unite together, independent of God, because the enemy wants to get in there, and he wants to use our imaginations just like God does. We are to have a sanctified imagination. We are to set Christ apart in our hearts. But the enemy wants to get in there, and he wants to get a hold of your mind too, and your imagination. Amen? We know about that because we read that in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, where we're supposed to take captive every thought and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Our imaginations are a tool that God will use in a positive way if we submit ourselves to Him, amen, and shut out all intruders. So I want to continue on this because we need to understand how this thing works, this thing called faith. Faith is actually seeing something before it's manifested. You first have to see it. Now we say, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, that's actually true in the sense, though not talking about outwardly, but you have to first inwardly see it before it can be a reality. If you do a study on it. Do a study, read Hebrews 11. Do a study on it, and you'll find out that everybody that God used and that God mentioned that were men and women of faith were people who, when they heard the word of God, they embraced it. They believed it. Where did they believe it? In their head? No, in their heart they believed it. Because you can believe something in your head, amen? But if you believe something in your heart, it'll actually produce action. You know, you can learn all about Jesus. There are a lot of Christians who are learning all about Jesus. They could teach a college class on Jesus. But do we actually practice what we learn? Do we live what we learn? Do we demonstrate it? Is that which is invisible and superior being manifested in the natural? That's what God wants to do. God wants to show up on the scene. That's why we are to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. It won't happen unless we call in that which is in the invisible realm. Last week we talked about the bank account in heaven, you know. How do you know there's money in your bank account on the earth? Well, because you have a statement that says it's there. Well, guess what? We have a statement that says there's some treasure. And we have access to it. But you have to first envision, you know, when I think about money in the bank, you may have a vision of, you know, well, I see a safety deposit box, you know. And there's a few gold coins in there. I wish it was true, but just imagine with me for a minute. If there's some gold coins in there. You know, somebody else may see a stack of cash or something. Our imagination, you know, kind of runs. When you hear a word, it produces a mental picture. Right? If I say ant, what do you think of? A-N-T, that is. You know, if I say cow, what do you think of? Cowabunga, yeah, see? You've already been influenced, dude. I want to pray for you. But when we hear a word, it produces a mental picture. Do you get it, right? So when you understand something and somebody's teaching you, you just say, oh, that's right. I get it. Or now I see. Well, no, you're not seeing with these eyes. You're understanding. You're seeing it with your heart's eyes. We sing that song, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. We want to know Jesus. I remember sometimes in communion, or one time I did the Seder meal, you know, where they were showing Christ in the Passover. And, you know, I saw a picture of Jesus so clearly in that. I could say, you know what? I saw Jesus today in a way I never saw him before. You know, I got a picture of Jesus. And that's how it is. Our imagination is good, amen, if it's given to God, submitted to God. But if we don't allow our, if we don't submit it to God and we allow it to be used of the enemy, it can be a horrible thing, amen. It's how we see all the atrocities in the world today. Somebody's imagination was let go and submitted to the wrong authority. In Matthew 6:22, Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single or good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Ever thought about this verse, really pondered it? You know, folks, if our vision is impaired, if our eye is unhealthy or damaged, it can obscure our view of our world. Remember, I'm going to pick on Judy a little bit here today, but, you know, the teacher, you know, sent a little note one day home from her and said, you know, you might want to get her eyes checked. She seemed to be straining to see the board. Well, unless you knew any different, that lack of ability to see clearly could be your normal. Think about this, folks. There are many people, even in the church, who have obscured vision. They have blurred vision, but it is their normal. They don't realize that they're not seeing clearly. And as a result, they are allowing darkness into their lives because of an eye that is not focused. If your eye focuses, you know, I heard an illustration that's really good. And if you ever take a magnifying glass, and I have to, confession is good for the soul, right? I have to make a confession. I have roasted a few bugs in my time. But, you know, you take that magnifying glass and you hold it up in the sun and you just turn it a certain angle, you can focus that beam, right? And it'll actually burn, right? It can cause a fire. What you're doing is you're taking that lens and you're focusing it. And that's how it works in the spirit, folks. We have to be focused. When we pray, Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive it. Don't say, well, if something, I see something, I'll start believing it. No, you have to first believe that it is already done. First believe, then see. First believe, then see. First see it with your heart's eye. I hear the word. I get the picture of what God is saying. And now I'm going to focus until that becomes a reality. That's what Abraham did. He didn't see his son, but he had a promise of the son. Amen? Isaac. He held on to what he heard because he had a visual. He saw that someday I'm going to have a bouncing baby boy. Amen? And we're going to call his name Laughter. So he stood on what he heard because he had a vision. Amen? He might not have seen a vision, but it was a vision in his heart. He could see it in his understanding. He got a hold of it. When God spoke to Noah and he said, listen, there's going to be a flood. I'm going to destroy the earth. You need to prepare an ark to the saving of your family. How many believe that Noah kind of got a little idea in his imagination, amen, in his heart's eye that, man, it's never rained before. But he got a picture because he heard the word of God and he moved with godly fear, amen, to the preparing of the ark, to the saving of his family. Faith, true faith, has action, has fruit. When we bear fruit, it's a result of true faith. God is pleased when we believe Him, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible. So we think, well, if I just do good deeds, God's gonna be pleased. Well, if that good deed is something that He told you to do, yes. But not just doing good deeds. Doing what He told you to do pleases Him. Because that means you're believing Him. You're hearing His voice. You see, we can do all kinds of good things. I can do a lot of good things as a pastor and yet be missing the will of God. But the just shall live by faith. The just are the ones who say, God, I need to hear from You. I long to hear Your voice. Speak, Lord, Your servant listens. And to hear the voice of God. And when I hear the voice of God, and I know it's the voice of God because it is a life-giving word. It will actually give life to you. It'll be quickening in your being when God speaks. And with the sound of His word comes the picture. You see it? Before there was light, there was first the voice of God spoke. Spoke everything into existence. Is this helpful? I also had the illustration of, I thank God for GPS. They're awesome. Especially if they have a pleasant voice, And they don't get bent out of shape, If you miss your turn, they just say, do a U-turn. You knucklehead, you missed your turn. No, yes. So, anyways, GPS. We use GPS today. We navigate. But, if you can't see signs, you're in trouble. There's a reason why they have you do those eye tests, before you get your license. You got to be able to see clearly to be able to navigate effectively. You getting it? We have to see clearly spiritually. We have to be spiritually focused in order to see. Discernment is you and I being able to know the difference between what is of God and what is not of God. Between what is good and what is evil. Discernment is a result of the voice of God that produces a picture of what is good and what is evil. The reason why a lot of Christians, I'm baffled today when Christians are allowing things in their home, allowing their kids to do things today, that you're like, let them watch that? You let them listen to that? Come on, somebody. Where is the discernment? Well, the problem is this, once again, is they have an unhealthy inner eye because it's probably contaminated or damaged by double-minded thinking where they're allowing all kinds of other thoughts. They're entertaining all kinds of other stuff. They're watching all kinds of garbage. Come on, somebody. And it's obscuring or blurring their internal vision. It is absolutely essential to our well-being, our spiritual health, vitality, and possibly our future destination that we focus on what God is saying, that we hear clearly, that we are listening to His voice. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that we are able to tell the difference. Discernment is absolutely essential. And discernment is a result, good discernment is a result of a heart that is for God, sold out, all in for Jesus Christ. God says, I don't want you lukewarm, I'll spit you out. Why? Because there's a mixture when we're lukewarm. See, I think most of the church in America, forgive me, but I think most of the church in America is lukewarm. And you know what? I have to guard myself. I have to work on not being lukewarm myself. I have to hear from God. I have to not only hear His voice, but I have to obey His voice. Because every time I'm saying yes to God, I'm saying yes to life. Amen? Your vessel is filled. But every time I'm saying no to Him and yes to me, there's a withering that takes place internally. And there's a clouding that takes place in your spiritual perception. That's why it's important to fast sometimes and pray. So that you're not allowing yourself to be tainted by all the stuff and the distractions. Even good things can taint your perception or your vision. You can be drawn away, as Jesus said, by other things entering in and not produce any fruit. In other words, too much of a good thing can be bad. Oh, I can tell you all the scores. I can tell you who they are, what number they wear, how they did at the last game. But, oh, I don't know. What's John 3:16 again? What was that? Is that in the Bible? You understand what I'm saying, folks? How the enemy is working very hard to keep us so distracted and focused on other things that are not bad things, but they can become a distraction and they can begin to pollute your perception of reality. And the media has got a hold of that. And so a lot of the stuff you're being fed on the media is to brainwash you into thinking, amen, like the devil, so that the devil, when he shows up, the Antichrist shows up, you're already in there with him. They've got young people today going to these, you know, rave parties and into some of these concerts. They're actually putting, you know, Illuminati symbolism on their hands. They stamp them as they go in. And they're all, isn't that cool? They don't even have a clue, folks, how far along we are towards the end. We need to get close to Jesus. We need to make this word our best friend, amen? Renew your mind, wash your mind, get the garbage out and get the good in, amen? So that you have clear spiritual perception. We've got to be people of prayer. We've got to be crying out for His presence. Without Him, we don't have anything. All we got is some dead letter or some dead religion. And there's too many Christians already that are just going through the motions. They give God their few minutes on Sunday morning and they just can't wait for church to be over because they got all this other stuff that they got to do that they think is more important than the kingdom of God. There's a problem, folks. Jesus used natural illustrations, such as the eye, to teach us, see, about spiritual principles. So God wants us to have clear vision. And that's what James is talking about in James 1:5, where he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives all to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Do you understand? What does that mean, no doubting? It means focused prayer. When I am praying for a loved one, when you pray for your loved ones, you have to pray as if they're already in the kingdom. You pray from the finished work. Amen? When we pray for the sick, pray from the finished work. Jesus said it's finished. Pray as if it's already done. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing first. And then he says here, listen, if your eye is single, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Amen? How many want to be full of the light of Christ? Amen? And when you're full of the light, you can see. That's the purpose of light. Amen? To see clearly. So we can discern, so we can read in the Spirit what's going on. How many know what I'm talking about? We get wiser as we get older and we start to learn that, hey, certain people and certain personalities may not be good for us, right? There's, would you agree there's at least a few toxic people out there you got to avoid? But if you don't have any discernment, if you haven't grown up at all, you know, if you're still like the kid that believes everything they're told, well, you're going to be in trouble, right? Because people will take advantage of you. Well, the devil's doing that. He's taking advantage of people because they don't recognize that it's him. As a matter of fact, he's so sneaky that he sneaks into the church and he does stuff in the church and people think, well, it was a miracle. It must be from God. How do you know it was from God? The only way you can tell is to have discernment. And the only way you're going to get discernment is to have a walk with Jesus, a personal relationship with Him. Amen. And to know the Word of God. See, some people, the only time they get fed is when they come to church. They listen to a message, which is important. But we're mostly here for fellowship and for equipping so we can do the ministry, right? Everybody can do the ministry. But you understand that we need to be in this book. We need to know what God says. What's God's perspective on it? Because my mind plays tricks on me. Some days the enemy comes along with something, and I'm like, man, things are really looking bad right now. And the demon says, yeah, it's real bad. They're not going to make it. And yeah, I see them falling on their face and failing and being destroyed. And if we're not careful, we start agreeing with that lie. Instead of saying, no, I see them as precious in the sight of God, and that God is not willing that anyone should perish, and that God is greater in me than he that's in the world. Amen. And I see that person saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, serving the Lord. Do you see it? When you pray from the perspective of heaven. That's God's heart, God's desire. You know, I had a call, dial a friend. You know what I'm talking about, dial a friend? You didn't have the answers, you dial a friend. What was it? You want to be a millionaire or one of those deals, right? So I called Lauren because she's a good gardener, you know. So I said, Lauren, and this is a no-brainer. I did do some gardening myself, not very effectively, but I did. And how many know if you plant lettuce, you get a plant shallow, you water it really good, and man, within a week or two, you already got something sprouting up out of there, right? It grows fast, you know? But if you're growing corn, that's a whole different thing, right? You got to plant deep, and you got to wait. And it's usually late fall, right, crop, depending on the weather, but usually in the fall sometime. So you understand that there's a time and a season for everything under the sun, right? And each one of us are different. God has different seasons for you, and you grow differently and at different speeds. But you know, you have some people that are just like lettuce heads, you know. I remember reading something from David Wilkinson a year ago called The Cabbage Head, you know. It grew up fast, didn't have any roots, and psh, next thing you know, the sun came out, it withered, and it's gone. But then you have, you know, the oak. That it may grow slow, but it's growing with deep roots, and it's growing strong and steady. Amen. And an oak will stand the test of time and the winds and as the storms come against that tree, that it will stand because it's a strong tree with deep roots. And so when we plant something, though, we have to plant with expectation. How many, think about it just a minute, how many here have grown something? I bet everybody has, right? Grown a flower or done something. I remember I would get apple seeds and I'd put them in this little thing, you know, and they'd be in there. And that, of course, they never grew. You know, I didn't realize you got to dry them out and there's a process to the whole thing. But, I used to try to grow stuff. But you put that apple seed, you know, or an orange seed. I tried to grow an orange tree, you know. But when I put it in there, I had in my mind, in my imagination, a vision of a tree. Great big tree full of oranges. Maybe that was a pipe dream, but you know, it was nonetheless, you envisioned this thing, right? And when you plant seed, if you're planting corn, what do you see in your mind's eye? If I say corn, what do you get? You get a picture. Yeah, right? You get maybe ears of corn coming off a stalk, or maybe you see it in a bowl, you know, ready to eat. But when we say corn, you get a picture, you get a visual. That's how it works. The Word of God comes, and then the Lord gives us a picture of what He wants to accomplish. You get a promise. You get a true prophetic word spoken over your life. You'll get a picture with that, and God will show you what He wants to accomplish. But then it's your responsibility to nourish and to nurture that seed, to take care of that seed. Handle it carefully. Amen? There's some seed that you plant and you're not going to see anything for quite a while. There's some trees that will take a year or more before they actually grow, even though the seed has been planted that long. But one thing is important is that seed is nourished, that it's in the right environment, it's fertilized, and that it's getting a steady dose of water. Somebody say amen, water. How many know we need the Spirit of God? Amen? Word of God and the Spirit working together in our lives. And you got to keep watering it. You may not be seeing anything right now, but if you stay focused long enough, and if you can believe long enough and you can see it and you can hold on to it long enough, eventually what? There's going to be a manifestation. In Hebrews 11, it says that many of those who were mentioned as the greats of the faith did not receive in their lifetime the promise. But nonetheless, God is faithful. You may not be seeing anything in your child, but if you continue to sow into your child and you pray a blessing just like Isaac, amen, had prayed a blessing over Jacob and Esau. He saw, as he prayed, he saw them actually receiving what he was decreeing over them. That's in Hebrews 11. You lay hands on your kids, start doing it, and you start decreeing by faith saying, I see this child, you know, a man of God, a woman of God, serving the Lord, reaching people for Jesus, you know, walking in integrity, walking in truth, walking in love, full of joy in the Holy Spirit. I see that. I decree that by faith. I see it. And if you keep praying, guess what? Why do the Jews do this? They will, the right hand of blessing, they lay on their oldest, amen, or even on their children, they'll start begin to bless their children. Why? Because there is a spiritual power that's released when we have faith in what we say when it's according to God's will. How many know it's God's will that everyone walks with Him? So you pray the will of God over your children. You decree it as if it's already done. You see it? And if you believe and you hold on, hold fast, even though they may waver, they may take a detour, the word of God will not return void. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. I was one of the biggest knuckleheads on the block. But you know what? My mom gave me that verse when I was young. And she believed it. And I had a praying mother. You know? And they sowed the word into me. They got me into Sunday school. And they got me into Vacation Bible School. And even though in my teen years I rebelled and went away from God, that seed was there. And their prayers, amen, before the throne. And they were seeing, even though at times we can just wring our hands and say, oh God, what are they ever going to get it? But we have to be consistent. Do you understand? Your eye has to be single. It has to be focused. You have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Keep on sowing in the Spirit. Keep on believing in the Spirit. Amen. Let us not become weary. Galatians 6, 9, and well doing, for in due season we shall reap. In due season, in the season that is appointed by the Father, if you have been faithful to do what He showed you to do consistently, in due season you shall reap what you have been sowing. Praise God. So don't get weary. Don't give up. Don't quit. Stay focused. Stay focused. Don't knock off those fleas and those other things that are trying to get in there, amen, and mess your head up. When you pray for somebody, don't listen to, well, what if this doesn't happen? Forget about what doesn't happen. Think about what is going to happen. And when you ask somebody, how are you doing? You say, how well is it improved? Don't say, how bad is it? But say, how well is it improved? So that the thinking in lines of it being a done deal. You know, even Jesus said there was times when he could do no great miracle or work because of the unbelief. If we can agree for something, if we can come into agreement, if we can focus together like we did this morning, amen? Just focus together and believe as seeing it as already done, you'll have it. That's how it works. And the reason why God wants his church activated and moving in the miraculous is because the world is dying. The world is without hope. The world is being duped by the devil, amen, and his cronies. And they're going after false things. And they need to see the authentic. They need to see, amen, if you will, the rod of God swallow up the rod of the enemy. And you and I have been called to live a life that naturally is impossible. That way we're walking by faith. And when we're walking by faith, guess who gets the glory? Jesus gets the glory. Amen? Because he's saying, isn't that the carpenter's son? That's what they said about Jesus. He's just a carpenter's son. Oh, there was more than a carpenter's son there. Amen? But if the Holy Spirit is in us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If we really believe, I'm going to finish with this. If we really believe God, if we really have faith in God, it will produce holiness. It will produce a change of life, a change of mind. It will produce good fruit. If I really have faith in the Word of God, amen, that God says, be holy for I am holy, it will produce holiness. If I believe that I am holy by the blood of Jesus, then I will live holy. If you expect to remain an addict to drugs, then you will remain an addict to drugs. What you expect, if you expect, you know, to fail. You know, I know why a lot of people fail is because before they even take the test, in their mind, they've already failed it. They're expecting. They're sowing an expectation. What you expect, folks, it has spiritual power. If you expect rejection, if you expect to be put down, then that you're actually sowing that expectation in the spirit realm and you can bring it about. I got offended years ago in the church. God was trying to teach me something, but I got offended. I got mad. And so every time I go to another church, I was looking for something. Something wrong. Now, there's something wrong with this church too. I'm the only right one around here. Didn't realize I was the problem, but you know. But I went in with an expectation that there's going to be some more mean people in here, some rude people here, some unloving people here. And guess what? I found it. I found it. Sure enough. But when I go in, I said, it ain't about me anymore. It doesn't matter how they treat me. I'm going to love them. Jesus said, just love others. He said, love your enemies. Don't go in with an attitude, oh, if you do this for me, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. No, you go and you love the world. You love the unlovely. You sow love and you reap love. You sow joy and you reap joy. You sow the expectation, I'm going to succeed at this. I see it. As a reality, a present reality. And guess what? If you can hold on to a vision long enough, it'll happen. And I mentioned this last week, and I'm not here to make a political statement, but I don't care what you think about Donald Trump. But you know, the guy has got a lot of toys. The guy is very rich. Okay? We can all agree with that, amen? An idiot doesn't do that, folks. He does idiotic things, like we all do at times. But this guy is a visionary, okay? I'm not saying I agree with everything he does and says. But there's something that you can learn from a person like that who has discovered some principles in life that if you can see something and you can believe for something long enough, you can achieve it. And that's what was happening back in Tower of Babel, you know. They were only putting their expectation in an evil thing. And God says, they're not going to have this. I'm going to divide them up. Amen. Divide the languages. I'm going to scatter them. Do you understand? The imagination and a unified people. If we here, the few of us that are here, pull together and believe God for this city, there's nothing the enemy can do about it. Nothing. He can't stop us. If we're focused and we're believing, Folks, I'm not going to take the mentality of so many today, well, America's just so bad, and all they can do is find out what's... Yes, there's a lot of problems in America, no doubt about it. But if all we focus on is what's broken and what's bad and what's wrong about America, and then we join in with the crowd that says, well, America's down, I might as well give my kick too to America. Folks, that's what's going to happen. But if we can say, you know what? I see America in revival. I see America alive for Jesus. That's the focus and that's the heart of God. God wants to turn it around. Don't join in with it. Do something about it. Stay focused. Nothing shall be withheld. For those who can imagine, and if our imagination is sanctified to the Lord, I'm finishing with this, and it's the will of God, as God has spoken to us in His Word, and we stay on to it and we hold on to it, it'll come to pass. Believe that for your family, for your loved ones. I see them living for Jesus, serving the Lord. You know, don't ever say, oh, you ain't going to amount to anything. You're going to end up dead or in jail. How many know you can speak a curse on your kids by saying that? Power of life and death is in the tongue. You got to start blessing your children. Bless them. Speak the blessing of God over them, over their lives. Lay your hand on their head and pray over them. Do it for one another. Quit cursing, amen? Start blessing. Believe in agreement with God's heart.